Open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians 4, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to speak for just a little while by the grace of God on surviving and thriving in a crooked and perverse world. Surviving and thriving in a crooked and perverse world. This world has gone nuts. They have gone off the rails. The things that are going on outside these doors ought not to even be in our minds. We ought not to ever have to hear that stuff. If it was God's plan in the beginning was kept, we'd have never seen the filth and the garbage that's going on out there. But here we are in the last days, knowing that we are on the doorstep of Jesus Christ calling us out of here. If you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, He's coming back to get us. And praise God, I know we have folks we're praying for that are lost and hell-bound, and we want them to get saved. I'm ready to get out of this mess, though. You know, I'm ready to get away from this, all this crookedness and perversion. I'm ready to get away from this flesh, too, that doesn't want to do right half the time. Amen? But the Lord's good. I want to talk about making it in these last days, surviving and thriving. I'm not talking about necessarily physical survival. I'm not talking about necessarily thriving with physical things. I'm talking about making it spiritually, surviving spiritually. Because what the devil wants to do, and what he has done an amazing job, if you will, of in this world, is getting everybody to think perverted, to think crooked, to think wrong. God give us this book, and if you depart from this book, you're in the devil's realm, amen. But we're in a messed up world. We are in a day where, like as in the days of Noah, we are right at the doorstep of judgment. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I want you to survive. I want to survive, and I want you to thrive spiritually. And the thing is, you can be just as saved can be. Praise God, I am, because He saved me and sealed me. And if you've trusted Christ, you are too. But you could be knocked out of the race spiritually. Amen. We could be drawn out of the race spiritually. We could be, like we've talked about many times, we could be going through the motions. We could be in church. We could be singing the songs. We could be listening to the Word of God being taught, being preached, and we could be praying together. We could be doing all those things that the devil hates. We could be doing all those things where the lost world would say where they're doing their religious stuff. We could be doing all those things and be dead spiritually. Amen. And that's what the devil wants. He doesn't care if you come to church. He just doesn't want you in church. He doesn't care if you physically come and show up in church, but he doesn't want you spiritually in church. He doesn't care if you get down and pray. He just doesn't want you to be serious about it. He doesn't care if you read your Bible. He just doesn't want you to be serious about it. He doesn't care if you witness a little bit. He just doesn't want you to be all in for God. And I want to talk these last days, and today especially, I want to talk about this, surviving and thriving. We're going to begin in verse number 1 of chapter number 4 of the book of Philippians. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in this gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." That's a good place to have your name, amen. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." If you do those things, God will be with you, says preacher, I got no peace, I got no joy, I got no comfort, my life's coming off the rails, because you've left God. If you do the things that he said in this book right here, in that verse 8 and verse 9, if you do those things, the God of peace will be with you. But you can't have peace out of the will of God. So how do we survive and how do we thrive in a crooked and perverse world? Look at verse number 1 again. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord. It doesn't say stand fast in science. It doesn't say, or science falsely so called, it doesn't say stand fast in psychology or philosophy or in your opinion or my opinion or somebody else's opinion. It says stand fast in the Lord. If you're going to stand fast in the Lord, first and foremost, you have to be in the Lord. Amen. I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about loading up your wagon with good works. I'm not talking about feeding the hungry. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm not talking about your sacrificing to trying to please God. I'm talking about, have you trusted in the ultimate sacrifice, the one that really pleased God? I'm talking about realizing for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. Realizing for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Realizing that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And realizing Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm talking about, have you ever called on Jesus Christ, trusting Him and Him alone? Because if you haven't, you'll burn in hell forever if you die without Him.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about, standing fast in the Lord.
Amen.
You can't stand fast in the Lord unless you're in the Lord. As much as I'm thankful for Gateway Baptist Church, this is God's church. He's blessed us. He's been good to us. But being a member of Gateway Baptist Church is not going to get you into heaven. Putting money in the plate is not going to get you into heaven. Building houses for the poor, or giving, and I'm not saying not do those things, digging wells in Haiti, all that stuff, do that stuff if God leads you to do it. But that's not going to get you to heaven. If you're going to stand fast in the Lord, you're going to have to be in the Lord. The only way you can get to be in the Lord is you must be born again. That first birth was a birth that we were born into a human form with a sin nature. The nature of that first Adam. I'm talking about, have you been born again? Now look, I realize I'm talking to people who have been in church since some of them were carried in their baby carriages. I understand that. But I'm not talking about, have you been in church? I'm talking about, are you in Christ? Have you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? I'm not talking about my grandma prayed for me. I'm not talking about the preacher put his hands on me. I'm not talking about I've been baptized so many times I started to swell up like a prune. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, have you ever been to Calvary and realized that your sin debt was laid on that cross with Jesus Christ? He paid that debt. He died for you. He went to hell, dropped your sin debt off, rose again the third day, and He called out to you. Have you ever answered that call and said, Lord, I'm going to trust You and You alone? I'm talking about repentance. I'm not talking about, oh Lord, just move in and fix me. I'm talking about, Lord, I'm wrong. Lord, I'm a sinner. But Lord, You paid my debt and I'm going to trust You and You alone. I'm talking about calling on Jesus Christ. And if you have, stand fast in the Lord. He's got you. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You're not going anywhere but heaven after you leave this world, amen, if you've trusted Christ. How do we survive and thrive? You got to be saved and you got to trust Christ. Not just for salvation, but for your daily walk. Look at verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord and unify in the Lord. Again, I'll go back to Gateway Baptist Church because that's where we're at this morning. Amen. I'm thankful for Gateway Baptist Church. I'm honored that God would call me here, and it's a blessing to be here. But if we're going to make it in these last days, if we're going to make it in these trying storms and these trials and through these tribulation times, I'm not talking about the great tribulation of the Jew. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the tribulations that life brings. If we're going to make it through these things, we are going to have to be unified in the Lord. That means everybody in here needs to be praying, has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer. Everybody in here needs to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through reading their Bible and meditating on the Word of God. Hey, God ought to be talking to you all week long. There ought to be a verse, not just on your mind, there ought to be a verse in your heart. There ought to be a verse you start speaking without even thinking about it. God ought to be talking to you. You ought to be talking to Him, and God ought to be talking to you And you ought to be telling others about Him, because God's talking to you and talking through you. I mean, if we're going to make it in these last days, you got to be saved, you got to be in church, you got to be in your Bible, you got to be praying, you got to do all those things to the glory of God. You have to unify around the Word of God. This church has to be in unity. What's unity? Everybody wants to take the right step every time they take a step to glorify Jesus Christ. Everybody wants to walk. We talked about this in Sunday school. I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth. That's not just for me and you. I take joy when my children are in truth. Praise God. But God looks at us the same way. He has no greater joy than to hear His children walk in truth. Every single step you ought to take as a born-again believer and as a member of this church should be Christ-honoring. And if it's not, get right. Praise God. Get right. Get as close as you can to Jesus. And just like we said in Sunday school, I'm going to recap this a little bit because you missed it. If you walk gradually away from Jesus and run back to Him over and over and over again, you're wasting your life. How about taking every step with Him? Then you don't have to look around trying to figure out where He's at. But that being said, if you're doing that, let me tell you where He's at. He's where you left Him. So get off the wrong road, get back on the right road, get on your face before God, repent, and get back on track. If we're going to make it, if we're going to survive and thrive, we're going to do it by standing fast in the Lord. We're going to do it by unifying in the Lord, and you cannot unify in the Lord without reading your Bible. Amen. What I give you on Sunday morning, what the Lord gives you by the grace of God, what He allows me or calls me to give you on Sunday morning and Wednesday, is not enough. It's just an appetizer to get you to get into the real meal at home on your own. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you, I could use maybe lose another 30 pounds or so. But if I just eat on Sunday morning and Wednesday, I'm going to have a rough week. Physically. Amen. If I do that over and over and over again, I'm going to have problems. But I eat a little bit every day. Probably too much sometimes, let's be honest. But you're not going to make it without reading your Bible. The Word of God, bread of life. Stand fast in the Lord, unify in the Lord. Look at verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. If you're going to survive and thrive in a crooked and perverse world, you're going to labor in the Lord. Amen? You've got to stand in the Lord. You got to unify in the Lord. We have to labor in the Lord. What we do should be done in God's will with God's power. Sister Debbie talking about that tract at Walmart there. She handed that tract. You turn around, the kid's gone. She walks out to the car. There's another kid. You know what's happening? We're off focus sometimes. The Lord's telling us, get that tract out. I got somebody to give you that tract to. We assume. She did, rightly assume, and can't give a tract to the wrong person. That kid disappears. She walks out the car, and the Lord says, there, give that one the tract. Amen. I think I told you all this before. I was over in Illinois. I was over in Whitehall, Illinois, and there's a whole group of kids walking down the street, and I pulled my car up, and I said, hey, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you something to read. I handed him a tract, and the kid in the front, he took the tract. He looked at it, and he flipped his cigarette down the ground, and he flipped the tract down the ground, and he's, oh, man, he's just making a fool of himself, making fun of the Lord, just, you know, mocking. The kid behind him picks it up. And I just sit there talking to that kid. The kid behind him sitting there reading that tract the whole time. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. I could have very easily just drove off and said, well, that kid ain't gonna care. But the other kid did. I was at a restaurant in Toledo and handed a tract to a guy, and he threw it down and got vulgar. Just started cussing and talking filth. Another guy at the table picks it up, and he's sitting there reading it. As we talk, we see the other guy sitting there starting to tear up. Because God does that stuff. If you're going to survive and thrive, you're going to stand fast in the Lord, you're going to unify in the Lord, you're going to labor, not just for the Lord, but in the Lord. In His power, in His strength, in His timing. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. If you're going to survive and thrive in this day, you can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I don't care what the politicians are doing. I don't care what's going on. You know, look, the China virus, and it's a bad thing. It's part of the sin-cursed world. That's the way it is. Yep. Amen. We've been fighting disease for years and years and years. It's all because of sin. Yep. You said, well, it's all because of Adam. Well, you'd have done it if he didn't. So it's all because of sin. It's all our fault. It's man. It's a sin-cursed world that we live in. And, the China virus, wear a mask, get a shot. Do what you got to do. Pray about it. Do what you think the Lord wants you to do. But let me tell you something. The China virus is not the big threat to this world. It's sin. The China virus is not the big threat to the United States of America. Let me tell you what it is. It's government-funded and government-glorified abortion. It's government-funded and glorified sodomite activity. It's a government lining their pockets instead of trying to glorify Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what else it is. It's not just the sins of the politicians. It's blood-bought, born-again believer sin. That's the problem. Everybody's scared. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to stay home. I'm saved. I don't want to die. But I'm not going to hide. I've got a job to do. And that's try the best I can to glorify Jesus Christ. And I can't do it under my refrigerator at home. Amen? Or hiding under my bed sheets, worrying about this, that, or the other. I can't do it. And you can't either. I'm not saying don't use common sense. I'm just saying don't be overtaken with fear. Don't be so caught up in the things of this world that you forget to rejoice in the Lord. He's got this. Hey, look, if you're here today and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you ought to be worried about that coronavirus thing. Amen? Or you ought to be worried about the flu. You ought to be worried about the common cold. You ought to be worried about driving down the road without a seatbelt on or with the seatbelt on. You ought to be worried about going to bed at night and closing your eyes and being on your way to hell. You ought to be worried about all those things. But if you're saved, you ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Well, somebody's always got it worse. Hey, nobody got it better. Amen. Ain't nobody got it better than I do. You name one person. Who is it? Who is it? Bill Gates? He ain't got it better than I do. Unfortunately, he'll probably split hell wide open. He can keep his money. I got Jesus. Amen. Is it Biden or Trump? No, it's me. I got it better than anybody. As far as I'm concerned, if you're saved, you got it good. Ain't no lost person got anything you need, but you've got something they need. You've got something they need. You've got eternal life. And you've got a book. You got a chance to rejoice in the Lord when the world's going off the rails and everybody's losing their minds. You got an opportunity to say, hey, it's all right. All you got to do is trust Christ. If you're not saved, get saved. And if you're saved, just trust Christ. Make wise decisions. Don't be a fool, but trust Christ. If you're going to make it, you're going to stand fast in the Lord, unify in the Lord, labor in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, I love this one. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Look at James chapter 5. Turn right here. James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, we'll start in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Rejoice in the Lord, and watch for the Lord. Watch for the Lord. He's coming back. Every day when you wake up, you should be thinking, this could be the day. Because he's coming back. He said he's coming back for what? He's coming back to get his bride. Now I understand there's a difference between him coming back and ruling and reigning on this earth and him calling us. We're going to meet him in the air. But that's the first part of him coming. He's going to come and call us out of here. There's going to be that 7-year tribulation time, for the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of the Jew. And then he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. But he's coming back to get you if you're saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved because he's coming back. Say, well, I don't believe that. I think the church might be going through the tribulation. No, the church isn't going through the tribulation. Let me tell you why. How I know that. How you know that. How you should know that. How you can know that. Because God said in His Word, it's a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is Israel. It's Israel's trouble. God says that we, the church, are not appointed unto wrath. What's the purpose of the bride? Hang on now. What's the purpose of the bride? When a man and a woman gets married, ultimately God's purpose was a man and a woman to a man and a woman. Let's back this train up. A man and a woman to unite to produce fruit. Am I wrong? And there are some labor that goes along with producing that fruit. I'll be easy because my daughter's in here and she's 7 months along or so. But the husband and wife unite and they produce fruit. And there's a labor and there's some uneasiness and there's some pains that go along with that whole process in the beginning, in the middle, the end. There's the morning sickness and all the struggles and the woman trying to get used to carrying that baby. But after she delivers that baby, all that pain's gone. But you know what happens? The bride labors for the Lord, labors in the Lord, and the bride goes through some things. And when we're through producing fruit, He's calling us out of here because our purpose will be fulfilled. The church age is coming to an end, folks. You better make sure you remember a point in your life. I'm not talking about a process. I'm talking about a time where you called on Jesus Christ and you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I'm not preaching down to you. I know some of y'all have been in church since before I was born, but I'm telling you, if you've never called out to Jesus Christ, trusting Him and His payment that He made on Calvary for your sin debt, calling out to Him and saying, I'm turning from me and turning to you. If you've never repented and cried to Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you and save you, you're not going to make it to heaven. I'm not telling you that to be mean. I'm telling you that to tell you the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you've never called out to Christ, trust in Him, you're bound. You're not free. You're bound to your sin. And your sin is heavy enough to put you in hell forever. But Jesus Christ paid that debt. But you know what? If you're saved, He's coming back. All these things that are going on, all the wickedness, all the perversion, all the craziness that's going on, watch for the Lord. He's coming back. And you know, I'm all for praying. I think everybody ought to pray. If you're saved, you ought to be praying. But let me tell you, every American can go to the Washington, D.C., can go to the Capitol, and they can cry out all they want. But without repentance, let me tell you something. I got a book. And let me tell you something, by this book, things aren't going to get a lot better for the world. They're going to get real good for us because He's calling us out of here. This world's doomed, folks. And it's not because of your air conditioning or your hairspray or your riding lawnmower or your car or your truck. It's not because they're burning plastic somewhere. It's not because of that. It's because one of these days, because of sin, God's going to judge this place. Well, the church is going out of here. God's bride's purpose is almost fulfilled. It's almost fulfilled. Watch for the Lord. Look at 6 and 7 back in Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 6, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. It doesn't say He may. It says He shall. If you trust Him, He will direct your path. Don't be so full of care that you give your joy away, that you give your peace away. Trust God. I mean, look, if you truly trusted Him for salvation, why would you worry about anything else? I mean, you're not going to hell. If He can keep a sinner out of hell, don't you think He can carry a sinner through a storm? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, you know, when the boys brought Jacob, Joseph's coat, and he saw that coat and he assumed that Joseph was dead. He assumed wrong. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You might understand something to be one way and it's totally different. Just trust the Lord. Don't lean in your own understanding. Lean on Jesus. Amen? So how do we do that? Well, we get on our face and cry out to God, and we get in this book and let Him talk to us. And we meet together as regular as possible. And help each other. Get on track, stay on track, unify in the Lord. Love each other. Encourage each other. Pray for each other. Pray with each other. Labor in the Lord with each other. So we can survive and thrive together. Amen. I had a good year last year. Amen. Crazy stuff going on. Good year. Seen some amazing things. There are folks that are going to be in eternity in heaven. We got to see it. There are folks that, they said, you know, look, I'm saved. I want to get baptized. We got to be a part of it. The whole world, oh, what are we going to do? We're going to keep doing what God's doing. Amen. Just get in line with Him, trust Him, and watch Him work. Watch Him work. Trust in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Unify in the Lord. Labor in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Watch for the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Look at verses 8 and 9 back in Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Focus on the Lord. All these things he listed, true. What's true? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is truth. Sanctify him through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is true. Focus on the word. Forget about CNN. Forget about Fox News. Forget about CBS, ABC. Forget about your YouTube special person that got on there, and he's going to give you all the developments of the world. He's going to help you figure out everything. He's going to let you know what Fauci's doing. He's going to let you know what Trump's doing. He's going to let you know what Biden's doing. He's going to let you know what Nancy Pelosi. He's going to keep you abreast of all the new information. How about this? How about focus on the Lord? How about turning all the garbage off and focus on something that's pure? Something that's pure. I mean, folks, we need to fast. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about the junk of this world. We need to disconnect the feeding tube the devil's trying to hook up and get connected with the Lord and truth again. It's this book. You want to have a good life, a Christ-honoring life? You want to end well? You want to survive and thrive and this world's going crazy? You need to get in this book. You need to get this book in you. So, well, what about those 11 months where we couldn't hardly go anywhere? Well, you had a Bible. You could go with Jesus. You don't have to leave your house to go with Jesus. I'm not telling you don't go out and witness and stuff, but I'm telling you, sometimes he gives us an opportunity to realize we need to get closer to him. I believe that's what 2020 was. An opportunity for born-again believers to realize we are not walking as closely with Jesus Christ as we should be. That maybe we're putting a little bit too much faith in man. That book says it's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. Maybe we don't fear God enough. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Maybe we don't take God as seriously as we should. Say, well, he didn't cause that. He allowed it. God can stop anything. And he allowed it. You know what I think? I think people don't want to repent. People don't fear God. People want to live like hell. People want to serve the devil. People want to try to satisfy the flesh. Nobody cares about God anymore. And I think God said, well, you know what? You're going to take your eyes off me. I'll take my hand off you. I think we've seen it in 9/11. I think we've seen it ever since. I think we've seen the fingers lifting. I think God's hand's just hovering above this nation, putting His people, His children, under the shadow while the rest of the world's falling apart. If you're not careful, if we're not careful, what if God took His hand off us? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about spiritual strength, surviving, and thriving. Focus on the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Turn right again, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Stand fast in the Lord, unify in the Lord, labor in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, watch for the Lord, and He's coming back. Trust in the Lord, focus on the Lord, and rest in the Lord. There's a whole bunch of people out there, and there are a whole bunch of preachers out there that are telling everybody to work so you can get to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says to rest from your works. When you trust Jesus Christ, you rest from your works. You see, what I'm doing now, after I trusted Christ, and I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, I'm doing now, I'm working in His works. I rested from mine. My works were done. Whatever I'm trying to do to justify myself is over. I'm in His work now. So I can rest knowing it's His work. It's not mine. I'm just an employee, so to speak. He owns the company. Amen? You know what He does for the company? He gives us some benefits. Amen? Joy, peace, and comfort, and understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you rest. We need to rest in the Lord. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, let me plead with you here. I don't care what anybody's ever told you. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say one word about going to church. It doesn't say one word about being baptized. It doesn't say one word about joining a group of people. It doesn't say one word about your own works. It says calling on Jesus Christ. And it says shall, and that word shall means will happen. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you need to get saved. That Bible talks over in the end of Revelation about death and hell giving up the dead and them being judged and cast into an eternal lake of fire to burn forever. Could you imagine? I can't. But to be in that fire, like the rich man, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, just begging for just a touch of water, anything, just a little bit of relief, and nothing will ever come. And all the times that God spoke to you, all the verses that you ever heard, all the people that you ever heard talk about Christ, all the foolish responses that you had instead of trusting Christ your Lord and Savior, playing over and over and over and over again for eternity. Because you rejected the Son of God. You rejected the blood that God shed on Calvary for you. You see, your sin is not what's going to put you in hell. Your sin makes you worthy of hell, made us all worthy of hell. It's rejecting Jesus Christ that'll put you in hell. Those folks that don't trust Christ, all the conviction and all the guilt at the white throne judgment will be there. But God is going to say, I sent my Son. And you rejected Him. Depart from me into everlasting fire.